I was texting with my daughter the other day. She's at college studying, or at college, and she's studying to be a lawyer. And I'm like, oh, how's studying going? And she still sends me a picture. Sends me a picture. It's her laptop. It's open. There's some pictures on a thing. And then her iPad is next to her, open up to OmniFocus. And I was like, okay, I did well.
You're listening to The Omni Show, where we connect with the amazing community surrounding the Omni Group's award-winning products. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we learn how Jason Atwood uses OmniFocus.
Well, welcome everybody to this episode of The Omni Show. My name's Andrew J. Mason, and today we talk with Jason Atwood, CEO of Arcus Incorporated, a Salesforce consulting partner. He's a longtime OmniFocus user, and he's been with us on episodes 45 and 70. Jason, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be back. One of my favorite podcasts.
I have to say, the one thing that's different, if you've listened to the last two episodes with Jason versus this one, is that the title is now CEO versus COO. Congratulations on the, I don't want to say the upgrade, but the career shift there.
Thank you. Yeah, a couple of years ago, my two business partners decided to hit the early retirement button, if you will. And so I got promoted to CEO, and I've been doing it since, I think, 2023, 2022, something like that. So it's been a couple of years. It's been really good. Definitely a challenge. Definitely have to rely on all my productivity skills to keep on top of it.
Well, nobody better suited for the role. I'm 100% sure of that. A few things have happened in the last couple of years since we last talked. You were last on in 2021, and we're in 2025 right now. Talk to me a little bit about how the environment shifted. Has your use of OmniFocus happened to have shifted as well? Just kind of catch us up to speed on what's been going on for you.
You know, it's interesting. My use of OmniFocus, and we talked before, I've been using since I found my birthday, my OmniFocus sneaky peek birthday, when I think Ken sent me the invite, said you're allowed in, was May 17th, 2007. And so I've been using this piece of software pretty much every day on every device that has been available for the last almost 20 years. And so I'm obviously someone who sticks to something. Once I get it, I like it. I really don't really want to learn a whole new tool. And there's some tools that just hold my heart so much that I won't move off of them. From a daily perspective, I don't think I use OmniFocus any differently, although just more. I just use it more. I put more into it. I put more things that I want to do in the future. I use it more for capturing long-term things. And I use the filtering abilities and the ability to sort of see what I need to see, but not see everything, more and more. So my OmniFocus database has probably blown up in the last couple of years, especially actually turning around 50. One of the things that became as a sort of point in life, I don't know if you've hit one of these milestones, but you've definitely hit one of them, is it's a time of reflection, right? You could say it's halfway of my life, maybe if I get to 100, but it's a great time to sort of, you hit those decade milestones and say, hey, am I happy with what I'm doing? Am I where I am? Where am I going? You can measure it against your friends, your family, or your children. I leaned actually very heavily on OmniFocus as a way to kind of go back and do, I wouldn't say a decade review, but go back and just look at stuff that I had said and captured years and years and years ago. Is this stuff that's still true to me? Is this stuff that I'm still committed to? And then I just captured a bunch of other stuff. Like I was having ideas and businesses and things I wanted to do. And so a lot was captured in. So I think that in the last couple of years, I think the biggest change is that my OmniFocus database is probably double or triple the size that it was before.
For me, something that I've noticed over the years as I've journaling is how often I have the same thought and think it's a novel, like fresh new thought. And then when I look back, I'm like, oh, shoot, I was thinking that 5 years ago. This wasn't anything new. I hadn't traveled new ground there. What for you do you feel like is fresh territory for you as you're looking to the future?
Well, I mean, you know, 5 years ago or when we had this conversation, things like AI wasn't on anybody's roadmap. So that sort of changed everybody's lives. For me, I think it was a way to, and we'll talk about journaling practice, which is an interesting one because I've asked around a lot of people how they do it. Everybody sort of has their own thing. But as a way to sort of map out where I'm going to go and what makes me happy. And a lot of it was a checksum to the career I'm in, the job I have, the company I'm running, the people around me. And what if this all went away tomorrow? What if I had to change careers? What if I had to move out of here location-wise? Or what if I had to change a whole new career? Am I happy where I am? And a lot of it came out as just, yeah, I am. I'm in an ecosystem that I've been around longer than OmniFocus. And I kind of had that re-upping of, I actually love this ecosystem. I love the job I do. I love the people I work with. And I love the company that I run. And a lot of it was doubling down. It was saying, okay, I'm going to do more of that thing. And maybe less of other things. There's a great book Seth Godin, I always refer to him, but Seth Godin wrote a book called The Dip. He's written like 30 books, but The Dip is all about if you really want to become the best at something, how you have to let go of a lot of things, like narrow your focus, stay really true to that one thing. And ever since I've read it, it has been something that every year, every decade, I try to take to that. Look, if I really want to be great at these three or four things, and that could be parenting, that could be running a company, that could be being a GTD coach, what are the things that are stopping me or that I could take out of my purview or do less of? It's always taking that, you know, are these really commitments I'm excited about? Maybe there's ones that I'm not. And the chance to go into that pending or that on hold list in OmniFocus and go dropped, right? These are not things that are, I have to keep around forever.
You know, having the level of perspective that you have, being almost two decades in on this, what is something that, you know, you mentioned honing the focus that at the very beginning you thought, okay, this is something that I understand to be true, that over the years, not that you've misunderstood it, but you find it to either be less true or has shifted over the time.
The biggest part of my practice that has expanded is just the higher levels. We don't have to go into the full GTD thing. You know, I'm a certified GTD trainer, and so I always kind of lean back to that because OmniFocus is the realization of that methodology for me. But it's getting that higher and higher focus and how that aligns to what you do on a day-to-day basis. I think that took me 15 years to get to, right? And I've been doing GTD for 20-something years now and 21 years. And I think I get to like another layer higher, another level of that, another altitude almost every year. And it's when you get to these next levels and you can see, apply those to your daily tasks. Like when you look at something to do, this little item, this little 20-minute visible physical thing to do, and then you can quickly align that to something that's bigger in your life, It becomes much easier to make decisions around prioritization, around what do things mean to me. And as I've gotten somewhat older, well, I guess I can't stop myself. You already dropped my age on the podcast, so can't hide that anymore. As I've passed beyond 5 decades on this planet, that piece of it has gotten more and more. I'm actually excited to get like, what would it look like in 10 years from now or in 8 years from now when I look back and what does my practice look like? And if I could even get higher levels of that, that I think would be fascinating to think about. As well as I still do the day-to-day stuff. I still capture, I was just before this call, I was of course going to my inbox, I'd captured a bunch of stuff, I captured throughout the day. So I'm still using it on the very, very basic projects, tasks, repeating, next actions, the whole thing. But it's those higher level things that I found I've really gotten more and more into the system and it's been helpful.
I know one thing that has shifted since the last couple of years is the release of GTD for Teams. Has that really worked on, shifted, narrowed your focus or how you do things or approach things there at Arcus?
Absolutely. In fact, while reading it, I did have a moment of like, did they come and interview me and sort of steal what we do? Because are they doing this thing to me? Now, I have had some podcasts with David Allen and I have talked about how I implemented it at Arcus. So I'm hoping that somewhere in the universe, some of that actually made it into the book. But it's a great way of thinking about it from an organizational standpoint. And I've been applying GTD terminology and practices to my company from the beginning. Everybody comes in, they read the book, they learn it. We actually just released a brand new internal assessment tool so we can see where everybody is. And so we're kind of excited to level set everybody and be like, oh, well, here you are. And here's where we're kind of expecting you to be as in your GTD practice. So that's kind of a brand new thing. But this, the concept of having everybody have a methodology and a tool set behind them to be able to handle the amount of work and the amount of stuff in our lives and just be good. Because we deal with so many people in so many places and you know who they are. You know, there's the people you email and they never email you back and they forget. There's the ones that don't return your phone calls. There's the ones who say, Andrew, I'll get you that paper by Friday. And then they don't. You have to follow up with them. Or the ones that you leave a meeting, they made 7 commitments, but you know they're not going to keep up with them. Like all that stuff is the stuff that is so easy to avoid. Absolutely, if you have a good practice. And so just weaving that into the DNA of Arcus has been a way to create a space that everybody is at that level. And it actually turned to me when someone came back to Arcus. We call people who leave and come back boomerangs for obvious reasons. And I was interviewing this employee. I'll try not to out the person. I was interviewing them about coming back. And I said, well, what'd you learn? They went to a straight up competitor. And we're there for about a year. And I said, well, what did you earn? Like, what was different? And we, you know, there's some internal practices and sales methodologies and things like that. Okay. And I said, well, what about, you know, that whole GTD thing that we're kind of crazy about? He said, you know, I saw it when I got to this other firm, they didn't have it. I missed it. I missed it that everybody didn't have that sort of common language. And he said, at Arcus, GTD is our working agreement. And that's really where Teams talks about. It talks about a lot of the working agreements of people working together. And again, it's not just a team at a company. It could be a group of friends. It could be people putting together a podcast. And this way, we're in a team right now. But having that working agreement, those standards of how we're going to work and play together and how we're going to get the thing done. And we lean on GTD as part of that working agreement.
It removes the pressure. You know, these are conversations we don't have to have about, like you mentioned, level setting. It's just like we all kind of know what page we happen to be on. And then there's less of that mental energy that I have to take up with, you know, can I trust what they said, that they were going to do what they had to do? Is it going to become a waiting for me? Or, you know, how often do I have to review that waiting for that they have? And talk to me a little bit about AI and how AI is affecting, if anything, your workflow, how you use OmniFocus, how you think about things. What role does that play for you? And I know with Salesforce, it plays a pretty decent sized role as well.
It is. Obviously, the AI wave has been fast and furious, and just keeping up with it has been difficult. And actually, for people who can't spend an extra 5-10 hours a week learning about this, playing with it, I would say find that time because it's that impactful. You know, interesting, going back, we looked at where our use of AI was. And since we are using the Salesforce platform, Salesforce actually has had machine learning and with their Einstein product for, I think, since 2016. So we've actually had it in the background, kind of helping us out a little bit. Obviously, it's been in Gmail. It's in your spam filters. It's when it became that sort of ChatGPT moment where it's now talking back to you. Last year was a lot about enablement. I found that my company was full of a lot of interesting people who some were like on it, using it every day, figuring it out. And others were like, I don't even know that thing exists. Or why would I use it? And so last year, it was a lot about training and education and enablement courses. We did some internal things where we created a space where we could all kind of play together and show each other what we're doing in a collaborative environment. So it's sort of to say, hey, look, here's what I'm doing. Ooh, I tried this thing. And then we started building out tools. I'm not sure it's the right thing to do in every scenario, but we're builders of tools. So we decided to build out a bunch of internal tools to help us. And watching the adoption of that, watching people start to use it, get it, like, oh, I could use, oh, this tool's really helpful. It saved me 2 hours. It saved me 10 minutes or whatever. Really thinking about it from the productivity side. Obviously, a company that has productivity and it's like, you know, in this part of its thing and that follows GTD, like for us, it's about productivity. And if I can boost people's productivity by 1, 2, 3x, like I'm very happy. So that's really been last year was building out that. And this year we are rolling out agents. I mean, agents are the new thing and they have tool sets. They're great. So we've rolled out 3 or 4 already internal, have a roadmap of up to 30, I think, by the time we're done. And it's getting to where everybody thinks in that first state. Well, how can I use this agent to help me do this? In terms of GTD and OmniFocus, you know, I'm waiting for the OmniFocus AI moment. So, you know, hey, Ken, if you're listening, call me. And, you know, obviously the platform on the OS X side, on the Mac platform, there's been a fits or starts. I have used it in my practice. I've taken certain pieces. I'll sometimes just take my day's task list and just plop it in GPT and say, which of these should I do? Or which ones of these are aligned to myself? I've built custom GPTs that have like my GTD concepts in it and asked it of things. I've built custom assistants and thrown them into our GTD channel at Arcus so people could ask questions of it. Like, how long should it take me to do my week review? Or I'm struggling with this concept of the, you know, the engage concept. Can you give me some pointers or test me on it? So we've been playing around a lot like that. And the last one I did the other day was I found fun is I took my areas of focus, my roles and my responsibilities, which is something that I review every week. And I popped it in. I said, tell me what I'm doing here. Where could I do better? What are things I could do? List them out. And it's amazing how it can go through and give you pointers and be like, this thing doesn't apply to this, or you have this kind of listed twice, or is this really a role or an area of focus? So all sorts of ways. Again, I'm waiting for the moment where it's built right into my tool set. So I can just ask of it right there in the tool.
Shout out to the Kairos assessment. I know you're probably familiar with that and them, where they talk about, you know, how you like to take in information, whether you're a reader or a listener. Turns out I was off the charts on verbal, meaning I need to like hear myself say something, which is awful for somebody that's like thinking that I'm trying to talk with them when I'm really just trying to process information. But a way that GPT has really shined for me in regards to OmniFocus has been, as I go out to walk the dog, just take 7 minutes, hit the audio record, and just brain dump verbally, you know, anything that's top of mind that I hadn't gotten to or put into the inbox recently. So it's just like, hey, got to clean the kitchen, got to put, that thing in the dishwasher. There's a pair of dirty clothes that need to go into the hamper. You know, there's, I got to get back with that client. Like all the things that I just kind of talk through to myself, I then ask GPT to summarize in bullet point, and then that becomes fodder for the inbox. And then it's at least at some level synthesized. You know, I still need to think about next actions for real on that, but at least it chunks it together into categories and throws it into the inbox for me. That's been so helpful for me.
It's great. And you can go there and ask it to talk to you about the practice or ask me questions. I did an analysis where I was like, I wanted to align some of the things we do at Arcus to some of the three pillars of GTD. And I said, all right, take these things and align them and let's talk about it. So talking with the AI and having them answer and then come up with ideas around, oh, you could align them this way. Or if you did, fascinating stuff. So yeah.
The thought partnership. Yeah, that's there. Talk to me about, this is kind of a fun one, but if you had to remove all but three features from OmniFocus down to the essence of, man, I can only keep these three things, what would show up for you as like, you know what, as much as I like all the other stuff, I can't get rid of these things. These are essential for me to stay afloat and alive on OmniFocus.
All right. That's pretty easy. I'm like, I just sorted it in my head, came up with the top 10 and to forecast view. I live in forecast view every single day. It's where I start my day. It's where I end my day. It's where I renegotiate my commitments. You know, at the end of the day, when I look at my forecast view and there's all those reds, I go, okay, well, I need to, some of them are like, ooh, I better do that. I said I was going to send that email by the end of the day. I got to do that. Some of them are like, I want to do that today, but I can't do that today because I ran out of time. So moving those and just selecting them and dropping them on the next day is one of my favorite things. So it's like, oh, wait, I'll put those on tomorrow's task list. Perspectives, obviously, the power to be able to filter out things. So you're only looking at the things that matter to you and the things that are important. Again, I use my OmniFocus like another person, a piece of my brain. It has thousands of projects in it, thousands on hold, thousands pending. But I only need to look at the active ones, the ones that are like in front of me that I'm working on. I try to keep that list like under 40 or so, just so I could, you know, look at it and take it in. So if I didn't have perspectives, I couldn't do that. It's one of the things that it's just, you know, and you could build now with, and I'll put a plugin, you know, 4.2, I think, has some really nice new filters and ability to do more granular perspectives. And so those are awesome. I could not go without them. And then lastly, it's the most simple because it's probably one of the first features that I still haven't seen anybody come up with, which is the ability to defer a project. To say that I don't want to see this project until this certain date. It's based on 43 folders, right? It's based on, I'm going to put this in this month so I can not think about it until that month comes due. And then when that month comes due, this is when I want to see this pop back up in my head or in my view or in my perspective. And that is so powerful because you can then say, oh, you know, it's my 50th birthday. Or my 60th. Let's talk about my 60th already. I don't need to see that until, you know, 7 years from now. So let's put it the deferred date. And then when it pops up, I'm like, oh, my past self put that literally in 7 years ago and said, you need to look at this in 7 years and start planning it. And that feature is just, you couldn't live without it. So those top three, and I feel bad for like the review feature, and I feel bad for the quick entry. I feel bad for sync. So yeah, I throw in a couple extra there.
You know, when I think about how many projects you just mentioned, you know, thousands upon thousands, somebody from the outside looking at it is probably like, really? Really thousands and thousands? Like recognizes like. So, I mean, I'm nodding my head along with you thinking, you know, when you think of the four quadrants, crazy maker, visionary on the empowering side, and how to effectively steward that in the right way. What for you makes you, you know, take a crack at this in any direction that you like, but makes you so passionate about having that level of integrity, having that level of, these are thoughts, my attention is on them. I don't necessarily have a next action fleshed out for them, or I do, you know, and starting to move in that direction. But why tend the garden at all? You know, what is it that's in you kind of at that first level, first order, that's like, man, I want to be as productive as I possibly can be as a human being?
I'm just following the GTD methodology pretty simply, right? If it's, you know, get it out of your head. And I have a lot of stuff in my head, and I spend at least maybe an hour a day now, probably getting things out of my head. Not all of it ends up into OmniFocus, which is part of my new practice, which I let a lot stay pre, right? There's a lot of stuff that comes out that's like, okay, that's not at the commitment level that I'm going to throw it in there. But if you go back to projects being the real core, and so anything that is, you know, more than two actions, I think in the official documentation, it's due within a year, but I would say that's not great because anything more, like that vacation you want to take in Italy in 3 years, you know, your 60th birthday party, anything that's coming up, it happens all the time. Those were all in your head. And if you just get them out of your head, you can really get to a point where you can automate your life. I like to say it's like automating my life. I don't want to have to remember to check the fire extinguishers every, you know, every 3 months. I don't want to have to remember to empty the whatever water in the laundry machine every 2 months. I don't want to have those moments at 3 a.m. where I go, right? I don't want to. So if I can get those out, the worst case is I'll go, ooh, I need to. I'll be like, oh, it's an OmniFocus. Don't worry about it. And actually, this is going to sound strange, but I forget a lot of things. And I intentionally do because I don't want to remember them all. I want to have something else remember them for me. This is where I think if we get to, you know, some really built-in great AI, like I don't want to remember this stuff. I want someone else to remember it for you. I want another brain system, another system for me to take over that stuff because that's not where I'm going to be the most creative or powerful or get the best ideas thinking about fire extinguishers and laundry water. Like that's not it. What's going to bring the best ability out of me and creativity is if that stuff's gone and outside of my head. So that's why I embrace it that way and let things come up once every 6 months in my review folder, my review perspective, let them come up every couple of years. And I look at it and go, oh, my favorite is I look at something and I say, oh, I did that, right? I had that as a project. I just did it. Great. Or I look at it and go, no, that's not something I'm committed to. I might've committed to that 4 years ago, learn something, read something, watch something. I don't know. And then I go, no, I'm not committed to that at all anymore. And I'll be able to say, yeah, I'm moving on and drop it out. And then it's off my radar, out of my head.
Yeah. For anybody that's sitting there thinking like, well, but why track that? You know, why track that every 6 months? I can attest literally 2 days ago, our carbon monoxide battery alarm went off at 2 a.m., woke the whole family up because we didn't have that in the system or didn't have a reminder set somewhere. So it's like, okay, do you want to stave off a potentially distracting, life disrupting moment? It's really easy to do if you track it in your system. So kudos on that. Talk to me a little bit more about, do you have any words of wisdom for people that are maybe just entering the workforce or career or just starting to manage bits of their life? They're getting to that space where, yeah, I'm bumping up against the edge of what I feel like my brain can effectively handle as an office internally. I know I need to do something. You know, we've got Generation Z who maybe it's a stereotype that is more notification focused versus list focused, but there's something there that's saying, you know, like there are habits that might need to be ingrained or begun. And what's a great first attack habit that you would suggest for somebody that's just starting to feel the pressure of managing their life?
Well, let me give you, I'll do a pat myself on the back. I was texting with my daughter the other day. She's at college studying or at college and she's doing studying to be a lawyer. And I'm like, oh, how's studying going? And she still sends me a picture. It's her laptop. It's open. There's some pictures on a thing. And then her iPad is next to her, open up to OmniFocus. And I was like, okay, I did well. I mean, has she mastered all the pieces of it? No, she still forgets things. But like, so I'll go back to that. What I would tell somebody in this day and age, first of all, relying on notifications is like relying on the smoke in your apartment to know that there's a fire. Like that's not going to work out for anybody. I think it is to get that tool, right? Everybody has the one tool that everybody knows how to use and everybody uses, which is the calendar. But so very people that I meet or talk to or try to help with have the other side of that tool. They look at their calendar as everything and they do everything in their calendar. And then that's a crazy maker. You're not going to work. I had an argument with someone the other day and I said, here's why it won't scale well. Gave them the 10 reasons. So to have that other piece of the system, that other piece of your trusted system that is not your calendar, so that's one piece of advice I say, go get that tool. Try one, you know, whether it's OmniFocus, whether it's something else, try another tool for those types of things because you're missing so much if you're just relying on your calendar or your inbox or your Instagram or your notifications. Those things don't scale. you need to have another place to put it. And so that'd be the one thing. Just get to that point. Obviously, I'd probably give them the book of GTD and say, start there. But if you could just get the other piece of your trusted system, realize that it's a pairing of the two. In fact, I haven't seen a lot of calendars that do both. So it's like, it's the pairing, and to understand how to use that other tool. And the 1A bit is you got to check it as much as you check your calendar. And that should be the 1-2 punch of everybody. Every time you check your calendar, you should check your task list every single time. And if you get into that habit, then things won't slip through. You will live a better life. So that's the one thing. Get that task manager tool and start populating with stuff.
I can't think of any better way to say it than that. And so that's where I'll leave it for this conversation. Jason, this has been awesome for a couple of reasons. One is because I get to see that you are doing awesome and it looks like life is doing well. And we actually get to see and talk to each other. So now there's the visual component of it as well. But also too, just for your inspiration, hearing you talk about this and your adherence to it is, I think, really inspirational to me. And I think also a lot of people that are going to listen to this podcast. So thank you for that.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you reaching out and love being on. Maybe I'll be the first to meet number 4 as well.
No, that's going to happen.
All righty.
Thank you so much, Jason, for joining us.
Hey, and thank all of you for listening today, too. You can find us on Mastodon at The Omni Show at omnigroup.com. You can also find out everything that's happening with The Omni Group at omnigroup.com/blog.